in your face. Madam Nightingale there, you can't see it, a.k.a. Phaedra Gunn is in the studio. Welcome to In Your Face. Welcome back to 3CR.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Wow, what have you been up to?
Well, it's been a fun-filled time. I've done a lot of songwriting recently with some members of the Real Songwriters of Melbourne Collective, and I'm really glad that you played that track because that will be one of the tracks I'll be playing with those lovely ladies at a special Melbourne Fringe do.
Yeah, the album isn't out, but it's coming out this year. When's it dropping?
Probably would be more likely to be straight after Christmas. So I've got a few irons in the fire. I've got a single coming next week. I've got an acoustic EP the middle of next year, and I've got an album early next year. So it's all, there's been a lot of years of recording and procrastinating and that going on, but finally it's all happening. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're really pulling it together, and you know, in terms of just all of this stuff that you have been compiling for years is coming to fruition with the album, and you've also kind of branched out with a new look and a new genre.
Yeah, so much more. My solo stuff now is far more sort of like disco set in the future. I'm calling it my disco baddie era. So if Studio 54 was built in the year 2050, that's kind of what that Madame Nightingale solo vibe is. But I also do a couple of other side projects, which is really great.
Yeah, tell us about the ciders.
Well, the most important one at the moment, I'm very excited. Next week, I'm going on an artistic residency up in New South Wales called Bundanon. That's like where they review your creative abilities and decide to gift you some time to write songs. And my So Afrobeat side project that I do with Chris Person, they really loved the songs that Chris had written for me to top line, you know, put vocals and melody over top. So they've given me 2 weeks in the hinterland at an artistic Boyd family residence to actually complete that EP. So that's very exciting, and that's going to start next week.
Wow, so a historic site. I wonder how that kind of ambience is going to affect your music.
Well, it's going to be really interesting. It's a lovely little sort of like a hippie artist commune that the Boyd family sort of trustees with their art gallery up there have created, and there'll be jewellers and sculptors and painters and writers and all of that there at the same time. So I'm really looking forward to soaking in the vibe and doing nothing but writing lyrics and recording vocals for 2 solid weeks. So that's going to be brilliant.
That is a luxury, isn't it, as an artist, to be able to have that space just to write, because there's so much pressure on social media to be visible constantly. And how consuming is that?
Oh, look, you know, if I didn't have people to help me, I hire people to help me do the socials, because I got extreme burnout about a year ago going, I can't keep doing this. And look, this Bundanon residency, I'm just so grateful to be, you know, one of sort of 500 artists that applied that managed to get in this year, because I've really struggled to get that sort of silent, contemplative silence that you need to write a whole batch of new stuff. So not only will it benefit, you know, the So duo that's actually one listing, if you like, the reason why I'm going up there, but also for me personally as an artist, it's really good to sort of get your headset back into that writing and creating mode away from social media and everything else.
Is that what creates the noise? Is that what makes it so hard to concentrate and create the silence because of social media, even when you're not necessarily like creating stuff for it? In your case, other people are doing it for you, but just absorbing it or watching it all.
Yeah, look, it's hard to get away from. I've started to set rules for myself around, you know, using social media. So I do the bare minimum that I need to do to promote my art and other artists I network with. And I tend not to use it much anymore as a consumer, because I have very little time. You know, you need time to sort of do nothing, to contemplate, to create. You know, I went out and saw the Stephanie Lake Dance Company last night, and I was looking at their beautiful dancing and beautiful visuals, and I think I really need like a week locked away to like think about doing that kind of thing for some of my live performances, you know. And I think you really do need to, you know, social media is a necessary evil to promote the shows and the stuff you're doing. But it's important to also spend that time sort of like silently, if you like, to recreate that creative edge.
How consuming is it being Madame Nightingale, your alter ego?
Well, very. So since October last year, I basically am now working as an artist full time. Having said that, the Madame Nightingale persona that people see publicly, it's about 6 to 7 performances a year, and then the rest of it is online. So I'm still the artist, Phaedra Gunn, behind that. And I think doing that full time has given me the space to sort of get my head in the right space.
Wow. So we're living in an era where it's not live performances now that are the majority of the performances. It's online performances. It's reels.
Well, I think, yeah, every time you're on social media, whether you're, you know, tweeting or posting or doing a video or, you know, publishing music, you know, like the single that's coming out next week, you know, there's this whole host of, I suppose, online, parasocial, performative stuff that you have to do. And it is an identity, you know, like I have a little brand and I have a little image, and like the current era is the disco baddie era, and you've got to think about how you're going to present yourself and how that's going to come across to people. And so that is like another, you know, a whole piece of work around, you know, the performance side of being Madame Nightingale.
I mean, you've got years in the industry and you've done the pub gigs. You've done a lot of them over the years in your various kind of, you know, incarnations as a singer and a musician. So you've seen a lot of change. Is this new era better?
On the one hand, it's better in that you can self-promote. So you're outside of the label system now. So back in the day, you know, you used to have to wait for a label rep, talent scout to grab you and decide that they were going to promote you and spend money on you. So very few people got through, if that makes sense. But the disadvantage of that is all the things a label used to do, like promoting and distributing and creating and booking recording time and hiring session musicians and booking gigs, all of that, you now have to do yourself. So it makes it more egalitarian, but you have to do the work. So it's like a win and a lose situation.
Do we live in an era when, even though it's easier to produce stuff independently, and there are so many amazing queer musicians here in Melbourne doing that, but to get the exposure from the mainstream media, they're still going through the record labels?
Yeah, look, some people do. I had a look at a few, and I came to the conclusion that it was probably better for me to self-manage, and quite a lot of famous people, like the title of creator, and there's quite a lot of people that actually do self-manage. It gives you an element of creative control as well, which I think is quite good.
But the pipeline to media, that's what I find interesting, that you see even independent media going for the big acts with the labels rather than the independent artists. I find that really frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but, you know, it's just a reality. You know, they need people to tune in to their radio programs or buy their magazines or read their newspapers. And obviously Taylor Swift is going to sell more copies than Madame Nightingale, you know. And this is just a reality. But I'm doing this to do art, right? I'm not here to, you know, it's nice to earn a living and be self-sustaining, but I'm not here just to make money. So I think you just have to live with the consequences that there are going to be people that are more, I suppose, marketable than yourself. But it shouldn't stop you from creating or promoting yourself.
I mean, we talk a lot about the perils of the current era that we're living in, especially politically. But as artists, as queer artists here in Melbourne, it is a great time to be producing stuff. How does that feel for you? You know,
well, I mean, there are far more opportunities. There's more, I suppose, community-based networks. I'm in the Real Songwriters of Melbourne. Jenna Marino, who runs that, that's an extremely welcoming environment. I would say to any of your listeners that are young or emerging, queer, female-orientated or non-binary artist, I would go and have a look at Real Songwriters of Melbourne. They've got a networking session on August 29th that'll be worth going to. People like yourself. There's a few people out there that sort of promote queer and independent artists. So that probably wasn't around to the same degree sort of 10, 15 years ago, I think. So it's I still think that that's a bit of a golden time.
You do have a new track coming out next week, and yay! It's a remix of one of your earlier ones where you did a great music video for it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, look, I mean, Dance With Me, I wrote in 2020 in lockdown and released it in 2023 as a Madame Nightingale's debut single, and it did quite well. It charted on the Wettest 100, which was like the alt pop, sort of the alternative to the Hottest 100, if you like. And it also got played a bit in US Vegas underground queer clubs, really. A friend of mine went over there and took it to a label over there, and it did really, really well for a short period of time. And I just felt that it could be more dancey. So I spent some time working with the guy who's recording and engineering my album, Emiliano Trelawney. He's a brilliant jazz bassist, but also a fantastic set of ears. And so he's helped me to create this remix. And I thought, really, for the album, I wanted to have a completely different sort of punchier version of the song, which is what's coming out next Friday.
And you charted. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so the Wettest 100 is like the alternative underground competition to the Hottest 100 that Triple J runs. So if you are unsigned or alternative or a little bit outside the square, you can apply for that. So I applied for that with the original Dance With Me debut back in 2023, and I think I got in the top 100. I can't quite remember the number now. I think I was somewhere in the middle of the field with Dance With Me. But, yeah, that was very exciting. I'd never sort of charted in a sort of an indie poll before. So, yeah, it's not quite the Hottest 100 in terms of advertising, but it felt really good to me at the time to be in the indie world, yeah.
And you got exposure in the US with that track as well.
Yeah, so a friend of mine, he knew somebody for a boutique record label. Shout out to Leo. Thank you, Leo. And gave a copy of Dance With Me to Tropical Isle Records. And they are like a little boutique label over in Las Vegas. And they're associated with some underground queer dance clubs there. And apparently it did the numbers for a little while at the end of 2023. So I was very excited. I haven't quite scraped the money together to go over there. But I do have a standing invitation that if I ever make it over there, they want to put on a show with me. So that was very exciting. So maybe that's something for the distant future when hopefully I sell enough copies of the remix to fund going over there. That'd be awesome.
Fantastic. Well, Phaedra Gunn, aka Madame Nightingale, thanks for popping in. We are going to hear it, the 2026 remix of Dance With Me. It's out next week. Thanks heaps for popping into 3CR.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Things are changing.